The main objective is really to assess the journey that we have taken since Teletacom was born 2 years ago. In 2009, when Teletacom was constituted, we set for ourselves certain goals with objectives, and now we'd like to sit down and see how much have we done in order to make a plan of action for the next 2 years.
But it seems to me that Sisters Religious are really in the forefront of working with trafficked women, people. It's a big battle. I remember interviewing one of your sisters before the World Cup in South Africa last year, and there was a huge impetus. Have things progressed since you founded your organization 2 years ago?
I don't know what you mean by progress, but I can speak of the commitments of the sisters. The work of the sisters against trafficking in persons unfolded, which means to say, from simple preventive measures, you know, of giving talks and telling people that there's this so that they will not fall prey into it. We have also gone into more, shall we say, advocacies, protection and assistance of victims. Some sisters have gone even into the rescue of victims. They are involved in accompanying the victims towards healing and recovery. So much is being done by the sisters. The progress, if you mean to say, is success in halting this terrible modern-day slavery. We feel helpless almost, but we are not, because trafficking in persons has diversified. It's becoming more complex. Whereas when the sisters started, we were speaking of trafficking persons working against this to save women from prostitution, from sex slavery. Now you have other forms of trafficking, such as forced labor, domestic servitude. You also have children being trafficked for mendicancy, for warfare, and for organ removal. So these are things that we have to deal with at the moment. First. Second, I realize this is a realization I had after that May 18 conference, no? Listening to Ambassador Dibaka and Diaz. I realized that we sisters, we are dealing so much with the cleaning up the mess done by traffickers, because we get persons destroyed, dignity trampled upon. We try to deal to give them back to their dignity as children of God. We try to accompany them towards a better future, but it's a very difficult process, and we hope that we'll come to a plan of action that will have a cutting edge, as Ambassador Dibaka said, not only the trailing edge of cleaning the mess, no? Preventive measures which would have an impact from the supply and demand flow of the trafficking.
It seems to me there's been a lot of awareness raising in the past year or so. Has that had an impact on the actual trafficking?
Yes. I think it's one of the reasons why now the traffickers are inventing new ways of deceiving persons, because the awareness raising has been effective. You take the South Africa campaign against trafficking in the World Cup. The sister with whom you were talking, she is from South Africa, and she just gave us the report of how effective their campaign against trafficking was during the World Cup, that they were able really to stop, no, this influx of trafficked persons. So there is this great awareness that now we can speak of partnering not only with high-profile persons, but from the grassroots, the village people themselves, the persons who are most vulnerable to trafficking. They are aware that this danger lurks, and they are very vulnerable to this. So they have also been shielded or prepared to affront this phenomenon.
Who are the people who are most vulnerable?
Almost everybody is vulnerable at this point. But first, you have people who, for some reason or another, have problems with their existence, be it because of material poverty, be it because of the crumbling of family values. So they are those who are alone. They are those who have no support system, even though they would have some material resources. Okay, so this is the material poverty, and then the poverty in other forms. Because these persons are more attracted to a show of concern from the deceitful traffickers. They would show first concern from offers of a better and more enjoyable life. These are the vulnerable persons now. And at the same time, people who are dissatisfied with their existence, they would like to improve their life. So you also have right now adult men being trafficked for agricultural work, for construction work also. So they are brought to big fields, to big agricultural farms, and they are treated subhumanly, made to live in barracks, summer, winter, or fall, to bear the cold and the heat, and sometimes without just compensation many times. And we call this modern enslavery because they are practically enslaved. They couldn't escape because their documents are taken by the traffickers. You have this right now. Luis de Baca, Ambassador de Baca, revealed that for the forced labor trafficking, more victims are men.
I understand it must be very difficult to have numbers because they're all illegal. Do you have any idea of how many people in the world today fall victim to trafficking?
I should not be the person to say that, but Ambassador de Baca revealed during the conference, May 18, that it could go from 12 million to 27. The most modest will be 12. And then he quoted 27 million as the number.
And prevalently from poor countries.
From poor countries. We are speaking here. We have sisters working in countries of origin. We call it origin. So from third world countries, from the Philippines. And yet there are also trafficked persons even from Europe. We have sisters in Netherlands working among trafficked persons first in the past with persons trafficked from Asia, from Africa. Now they are also working with trafficked persons from their own countries.
It's another problem. They're invisible, aren't they?
Yes. That's one aspect that we are trying to deal with now, the visibility. If they are invisible, we'd like to make this modern-day slavery visible so that people would realize what horrendous crime this is.
And when they take away your document, you're not really a person anymore.
Yeah, practically, this is one horrible realization that I had when dealing with one. A person, this woman had a passport. The passport had her picture with a different name and even a different fingerprint. So, innocent woman, she has her face, she sees her face, but the name is different. It's not her.
So you're taking away their identity as well?
Their identity is really abrogated, taken away, cancelled.
What is your hope for the coming years?
My hope was boosted by that conference, Building Bridges of Freedom, private partnership to end modern-day slavery, because we realize that we sisters, we are religious. We can only move within the parameters of religious life, you know. But the beautiful thing is that we can partner with people who are now sensitized or aware and who would want to do things to stop this. So my hope is that this a circle of awareness would grow into a circle of commitment so that more and more partnership in the field to save the victims first and then to prevent other vulnerable persons from falling prey to this crime.
Can you just tell me why Talita Kum? Does it have a meaning?
Why Talita Kum? Talita Kum practically is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8:55. It is the word of Jesus. Jesus is asked to come to save, to heal the daughter of Jairus. When he arrived, everybody was crying, saying that it's useless. She is dead. And Jesus said something. Jesus said, the child is not dead. And he went inside the room, took the girl by the hand and said, Talita Kum, which means little girl, get up. So this is not only the name of our network, it is our guiding spirituality, because that means we nourish the hope and the desire that every man, woman, or child who is trafficked can still be raised from this situation of death.